D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick will rejoin us during the 5 o'clock hour. He's got to head to the arena with the Nashville Predators. They take on the Minnesota Wild tonight, a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame right after our show. As always on 102.5 The Game, Barry Trotz, Predators GM, will join us at 5 o'clock. So Willie will be back in time for that. Trevor Maddich will join us in about 20 minutes, and we will break down the NFL trade deadline with him. We'll also get his thoughts on the college football playoff rankings. The first edition of those college football playoff rankings come out later today. So we will get Trevor's thoughts on all of that. But we are talking Titans trade deadline. The Titans made one trade before the deadline, trading Draymond Jones to the Baltimore Ravens for a 2026 conditional fifth-round pick that can become a fourth-round pick if Draymond Jones records at least two more sacks this regular season and Baltimore makes the playoffs. Those are the conditions. I think those are attainable, which is nice. But what we've been talking a lot about today, the New York Jets. Not only did the Jets trade Sauce Gardner to the Colts for two first-round picks plus A.D. Mitchell, the Jets also traded defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys for a second-round pick in 2026, a first-round pick in 2027, and young defensive tackle Mozzie Smith. According to ESPN, that 2027 first-round pick, the Jets get the hire of the Cowboys' two first-round picks in 2027, either their own or Green Bay's, which was acquired in the Micah Parsons trade. And we've been talking about this in relation to Jeffrey Simmons because Willie and I, we would have easily accepted that same trade offer from the Dallas Cowboys. Derek, you said, hell nah. You want two first-round picks. Otherwise, I'm hanging up. And most of our listeners think you're nuts. But some of them do agree with you. Ricky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the one guy who played in the league is the one I will trust on his opinion. D-Mace is the man. If you ask me, you still got to sell jerseys. You still got to have a player to market going into a new stadium. The quarterback hasn't caught on the way people prayed that he would. So Jeffrey is the selling point. So you do have some defenders, Derek. And I hear what you're saying about leadership. It's important for the Tennessee Titans to have leadership. There is a leadership void. There has been for the past couple of years since Derrick Henry left and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard, among others. But as Willie has said for many months, and I agree with him, at this stage, really nothing should be off limits for the Tennessee Titans. I'll grant them Cam Ward because they just used the number one overall pick on him. So if you want to say Cam Ward is off limits, I'll give you that. But the Jets, I think the Jets are going about this the right way. The Jets are realizing we are 1-7. We aren't going anywhere. We're not going to be winning any more games with Sauce Gardner, multiple-time All-Pro at cornerback. We're not winning games with Quinnen Williams, one of the top defensive tackles in the NFL. So as hard as it is to find those players, we are going to trade them, recoup assets, premium assets, and hope that we can rebuild. Again, the Jets now have three first-round picks in 2027. So this is where it's hard for me to relate to you because I never spent 15 years in NFL locker rooms the way you did. So to me, it's easy to say Jeffrey Simmons is a good player on a bad team. They need to trade him. It's harder for me to relate to what you're saying just because I haven't lived in that world. But I am trying to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, listen, we understand that, you know, he is the one guy that you can get, you know, good value for. But he also is the one guy in the locker room that you look to for leadership. And it seems like he's taking that serious. And I understand people to say, well, what about, I get that, but it's the past. He's taking the leadership and ownership serious. He's taking it personal now. And you are a young team, and yes, you need picks, and Borghazi said it, as well as the supreme ruler of football, Brinker. They said that at the beginning of the season. They want so many picks, and you know, within the next couple of years, in the top 100. So I get that part. But there is nuances to all of this. You know, yes, they want the picks, but is it worth giving up leadership that you don't have on your team? Or it would take the leadership that you have and diminish it greatly. And then it would put so much pressure on the guy that the pressure don't need to be on, and that's your starting quarterback, your rookie quarterback. Now it's up to him to be the leader. Okay? You can't force somebody into leadership. You just can't. Either they got it or they don't. You can't force them. They couldn't force Jeffrey to be a leader last year, 2 years ago. They tried that. It was when he took it personal that he became the leader. They don't have enough guys on this roster that they're going to depend on with enough experience. So, again, do you want to cut off your nose, spite your face? We can do that. You can get the picks. But what are picks when you have no leadership? I know they can. Well, you say, well, they can go out and get a free agent. How has the Titans done when it comes to free agency? They haven't done well, and I don't want to look to free agency for my leadership. They don't know this team like the guys here do. They hadn't been through what we've been through. His leadership may be different. It may come off different. So I'm not just going to say I'm giving Jeff up. Yeah, we'll get a first and a second, or second and a first, second this year and a first year. Okay, we give it up. Now we got the picks. And then they draft and they have no leadership. Or the same thing that people are screaming, they will be screaming next year. They have no leaders in this locker room. They have none. They gave away the lead. And this is what people, see, I listen to people. I may not always react, but I do listen. And for weeks and months and over the last 2 years, since Derrick Henry left this building, since Kevin Byard left this building, Tannehill, there's no leadership. We ain't got no, where the leaders? Where the leaders? And y'all were right, because I was screaming the same thing. I was trying to push a guy into leadership that just wasn't ready. He's taking it personal now. He's your leader. So now you're going to say, oh, now I forget it. Give him up. We don't care. Even though we've been crying and screaming, they ain't got no leaders, but we can give him up too. And then what are you going to be saying next year when the team... Because this is going to be a process, people. Last year, they were bad. A lot of people thought this year. I was optimistic. A lot of people said they were going to be picking in the top three again. And where are they picking? In the top three again. It's going to be like that next year, too. I'm telling you that. Unless the quarterback just completely does a 180, I think he will get better. But if he gets to that point where he alone are winning you games, then okay, you're good. But until that happens, you need your leaders in the locker room. I know a lot of people I am telling you. Show me a successful team or a successful company, and I show you a good leader. I show you a really good leader or a few of them within the building. You can't have that much success continued without leadership. So what you're saying, I'll give away Jeffrey because he gave me a second and a first, and then now we got to try to find leaders. Well, I'd rather keep the leader that I got because he's still playing really good football. And I could have got this from him, but I want 2 first-round picks. If you ain't giving me that, then I keep my guy. We'll make it work around him.
A couple of texters have asked about Simmons' leadership. One texter says, Simmons didn't even show up for camp, meaning OTAs. What's all this leadership talk? One texter says, how many wins has his leadership produced?
Don't tell me again. This is what don't tell me what he did back then. I don't want to hear that.
Doug and Franklin says he has no players to lead.
I don't want to hear what he did back in the day. Again, you were trying to make him a leader. He wasn't ready to be a leader. Y'all not hearing me.
I mean, it was only a couple of months ago.
A couple. when a guy, see, this is, I can't, gosh, woosah. How did Jeffrey Simmons come back?
He was in great shape.
And he's the best player on the team, right?
Yes.
And he has been a leader, right? He's been the guy. He's been the voice. Everybody said, don't miss words. Not on. He's been the leader. He's been the face. He's been that dude for this organization. Now all of a sudden it's, don't worry about it. Where has this leadership got him? Well, when you have a leadership in place, you start to build. They got a leader in place in Jeffrey. You may not like him, but he's their leader. And he's playing really good football. And while these other guys, Cam Ward, that's really the only guy, Cam Ward, as he starts to mature and become a leader, then Jeffrey, and I hate to say the word, but then he becomes expendable. But right now, he's playing really good, and he's your leader. He's the leader. You give, who are you going to look to then? Okay, go ahead and trade him. You traded him away. You got your picks. You might as well stop watching now. You just might as well.
I mean, they think a lot of people have already.
Yeah, they probably already have. But it's going to be like, people, well, they traded away Jeff, and now we have nobody to go see. I listen to people. I may not always react, but I listen to people. So I'm not sitting here saying, I'm just giving y'all my opinion. And I'm not saying that y'all are wrong. I'm just saying I'm giving y'all reasons why I wouldn't do it. And I'm also giving y'all examples of things that the fans have said and what I believe they will say if that deal was. They'll like it now, just like Vrabel. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. And then what happened? I wish I had Vrabel. I wish he was back. See, y'all are fans, which is short for fanatics. We all are. That's all I'm saying. I like to make it lighthearted too. People don't think I'm, getting on y'all.
You don't have to apologize.
But that's all I'm saying because I've seen this movie over and over, and I've seen this movie so many times, I can probably write the script myself. I've seen it so many times. But y'all have seen the movie too, but y'all want to rewrite the script. Y'all want to change and add, subtract. No, I've seen the movie. I can write it myself. I know what it looks like when you don't have it. I know what it looks like when you do have it. This is a bad team. They have a leader. They have two, I believe. Cam, he will become that guy. But you can't start giving away those guys, especially when they're playing really good football. And I mean in Jeffrey Simmons.
One texter says, I'm with Derek 1,000%. You can build something only when you have the right leaders in place. And then there's a quote. I'm more afraid of 1,000 sheep led by one lion than 1,000 lions led by one sheep. I've never heard that one before. Yeah. That's clever.
Mm-hmm, very.
I hear what you're saying, Derek. It's easy for me as someone who has spent time in locker rooms and dressing rooms.
But you know about business. Right. So it's not just about the locker room.
I've covered teams. I've mm-hmm. been in locker rooms and dressing rooms. That's different, of course, than mm-hmm. actually playing. But it's easy for me to dismiss the leadership aspect of it when what you're trying to do is win football games. And we had one texter point out, Woody Johnson made that trade because of Madden football. Remember that report that came out last year about him mm-hmm. nixing a trade because he didn't like a player's Madden rating? I can't remember which team or which player it was. And it's an interesting point because I do think a lot of us who didn't play do think about it that way sometimes. I used to play a lot of Madden. I used to play a lot of sports games, and GM mode was my favorite because you got to make the trades and set the lineups and all of that stuff. And it's easy when you're just thinking about players as pieces on a chessboard or mm-hmm. a checkerboard, and you can just move them around willy-nilly. I hear what you're saying about Jeffrey Simmons and leadership. I do. And you're right. If Jeffrey Simmons weren't on this team would absolutely be devoid of leadership. Cam Ward is a young leader in training. At least I get that vibe. Mm-hmm. But he's not there yet. L'Jarius Sneed is not a leader. Calvin Ridley is not a leader. Maybe Cody Barton is a leader. But it's certainly not the same strong leadership the Titans had when they were one of the best teams in the AFC. No Kevin Byard, no Derrick Henry, no Ryan Tannehill. I get all that. But when a team is this bad, I sort of disregard all of that. They're going to be bad with or without Jeffrey
Simmons. And that's why, listen, it's not about, for me at least, it's not about whether you played the game, didn't play the game. It's not about that. I think, you know, whether you work in business or not, I mean, I think all of these things, you know, have tentacles. So it's just about leadership, period. So I get the part of, you know, well, let's just move some guys. But I also want people to understand that, listen, I'm not saying that, you know, y'all don't know anything because y'all haven't been in the locker room. Y'all know a bunch of stuff, a bunch of it. But I'm saying that if you got to be careful in a locker room, because talent alone doesn't win you football games. Talent alone doesn't. We've seen it year after year. Talent alone don't win you games. You got to have leadership. Every locker room that I went in, we were successful. We had good leadership. The one locker room I didn't, we were not. So I'm not saying that Calvin Ridley is not a leader. What I'm saying is that Jeff has been here. He's seen it. Ups and the downs. He leads totally different than what a Ridley can lead. Ridley's only been here for a season and two seasons, basically. Coming from another place. It's different with him. I'm not looking to him the way I'm looking to Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not looking at all these other guys that they brought in from other teams. No, I'm looking at the guy that they drafted. That they put in the time and the work, you know, on this player. And now he's a damn good player. And now he's become the leader that y'all have wanted him to be for so long. So now that all that happened, it's like, all right, see you later. Titans done that too many times, and we complain about that. A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, whatever. The one time the Titans seem to be doing something that, yeah, I get what you want. Like, people want to trade and picks. I get it. But the one time the Titans are doing, at least right now, what many of y'all wanted them to do with other players, now all of a sudden is a big problem.
615-737-1025. Trevor Maddich will join us coming up next. We'll bring him into this conversation. We'll also take your reaction as well. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters. Trevor, we've been debating the Quinnen Williams trade from the Jets to the Cowboys and whether the Titans should have done the same thing with Jeffrey Simmons. So let me ask you the same question we asked ourselves. If the Cowboys would have offered you the same package that the Jets did, if the Cowboys would have offered you the same package, the 2026 second round pick, the 2027 first round pick, and a young defensive tackle for Jeffrey Simmons, would you have taken it, yes or no?
In a heartbeat, I would have taken it. And the reason is that this is a team that is years away, at least several years away, from competing at the highest levels. By that time, I think Jeffrey Simmons will be on the way down. It's one of the reasons I wasn't upset when they allowed Derrick Henry to go, because as much as I loved it for Derrick that he had a chance to go to a contender, in this case Baltimore, I thought it was good for the Titans to free up the cap space to be able to then start to build, because by the time this team is ready to go, Derrick Henry will be, you would assume, on the downward side of the hill of his career. Now, he's such a physical monster that maybe he would last longer that way at the highest levels. than people expect. But for most players, and I would include Jeffrey Simmons in this, I think that by the time the Titans get done, their veteran stars are going to be less capable of helping them win. And I think they're much better off using that capital of those players, in this case, Jeffrey Simmons, to bring in younger players that you can build so that when Cam Ward is ready in a few years and when other young guys are reaching their prime, you've got other young guys reaching their prime there as well. Now, having said that, you don't know what's going to happen with draft choices. You can hit on draft choices, you can miss on them, et cetera. But what we do know is that Jeffrey Simmons can play like Reggie White had a baby with Bruce Smith. And he's the most monstrous defensive lineman in the history of the NFL. And for the next 3 years, this team isn't going anywhere anyhow. And so I think bringing in draft capital would help. That's where I am with that. As much as it would pain me to see such a great Tennessee Titan go.
I want to ask you about the other trade that the New York Jets made today, involving one of the Titans' division rivals. The Jets traded Sauce Gardner to the Colts for 2 first-round picks and A.D. Mitchell. What was your reaction to that deal? Was it a good deal for the Colts?
I thought it was a great deal for the Colts because of where they are right now. The Colts have been basically an also-ran for a long time. And all of a sudden now they've got an offense that's performing at a historic level, at least so far this year. No reason to think that they won't continue to perform at a very, very high level on offense. Their vulnerability is their defense. And giving up 2 first-round draft choices and a receiver, but especially those draft choices, mortgages their future for today. But your window to win a Super Bowl is usually not open for very long unless your name is Tom Brady. The window opens and it closes, and that's it. And I think the Colts believe that right now that window is open because of the serendipity of having the offense come together all at the same time like they have. And they want to maximize what they can do on defense to maximize their opportunity to win a Super Bowl right now. And if that means mortgaging the future, it means mortgaging the future. That's one of the reasons I thought that, especially if he were healthy now, a good possibility would be to trade, for example, Jeffrey to the Bills, who are one of the worst teams in the league at run yards allowed per carry on defense, or Philadelphia, whose defense is not so good right now, or the Steelers, who are leading their division but have one of the worst statistical defenses in the NFL. I thought those were the kind of teams that would mortgage the future in order to get a defensive player that can help them get to the Super Bowl right now. The problem is that Jeffrey is injured, and who knows how long it'll be this year before he's fully healthy again. But when it comes to helping the Colts, I think the Colts, yes, mortgage their future. And was it a good move? Yes, it was a great move because the window for them has unexpectedly opened. And let's see if they can go through it.
Now, another team, Trevor, that made a trade is the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they made the trade with the Tennessee Titans in getting Draymond Jones. I think this is going to end up being a really good move by the Titans because you're talking about a guy that at the beginning of the season, you probably would have gotten maybe a 6th-round pick for him if you're trading him then. But he's played so well, in particular the last few games, that you got a guy that you trade away for a 5th that could end up being a 4th-round pick. These are the type of moves that the Titans need to make when they're unloading good players, not great ones, but unloading good players, and are getting in return, day 2 picks.
Right. I agree with you on that one, Derek. And the reason is that the situation, mm-hmm. right? The Ravens, Lamar Jackson had been injured. They lost a bunch of games. They are still in position to make the playoffs, but they don't have any more time to waste. Their defense has struggled, and by bringing Draymond Jones in to hopefully upgrade their pass rush, they're trying to salvage their ability to get to the playoffs and make some noise there. So I thought that was a good trade on both sides for all the things that you said. Look at the Saints. They just traded a tackle to the Chargers. As Titans fans know, both offensive tackles for the Chargers against the Titans last week were injured in the first half, and the Chargers think that they have a team that can make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs, but not with backup offensive tackles that they had on their roster. So they made this trade. It was good for the Saints because it was a team that wants to win now and was willing to give up more than they probably should have. And it's good for the Saints because this is a team that's not ready to win quite yet, but they got extra capital.
Now, because, you know, the fans have been talking, hey, why didn't the Titans make more moves? You know, yeah, they traded away one guy. We understand that, you know, there are a faction of the fan base that wanted, you know, Jeffrey Simmons to be a part of a trade deal because he would have garnered the most of any player on this team. But do you think it was just teams looked at the Titans and said, you know what, this is what we'll give you and nothing more? And they chose not to make moves based upon that outside of the Draymond Jones trade. Because there were other guys on like the radar as far as guys that would be traded or had the potential of being traded.
Right. And, you know, one of those guys I thought they would trade is Chig Okonkwo, tight end. You know, he's been showing flashes this year more than he ever really has as a Titan. And it's one of those situations where a contender had a need that Chig might have filled. The Green Bay Packers believe that they could win the Super Bowl this year. Their stud tight end, Tucker Kraft, is injured. He's on injured reserve. I think he's out for the season. And their backup is not a great receiving tight end. Well, as a move tight end who can line up at H-back, you know, in a two-point stance and then move back and forth across the formation and go down the field as a pass catcher, Chig is a lot better than anything else Green Bay has, and it surprises me that a deal there didn't happen. So that's one of the other players that I thought that had value beyond his production so far because of the need of the other team, but nothing happened. I worry that the Titans, I don't see a clear vision for what they want to do with these trades right now, because they trade away two young defensive backs for next to nothing, and then their other starting defensive back, Snead, is on injured reserve. And okay, so you show that you were willing to get rid of those DBs, but you know, but you're not willing to trade Chig, or maybe you were, but weren't offered enough. It's hard for me to see what the vision is. I can easily see what the Jets' vision is. The Jets' vision is we're not going to win now anyway with Sauce Gardner, cornerback, and Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle, even though they're both playing at an all-pro level still. We're not going to win now with them. We're not winning now with them. Let's maximize their value in a trade so that we can build up and win down the road. That's a clear vision. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but you can point it out. With the Titans right now, it's kind of weird with the trades that they've made and the ones that they haven't, without knowing what they were and weren't offered. Maybe they were just offered low-ball offers on some of those other players. I don't know, which is why I don't want to definitively say that the Titans are messing up. I'm just saying that I don't see a clear vision right now as to what their trade philosophy is.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN, NFL and college analyst. Now, Trevor, this weekend with the Titans, yes, they lost. And I think many people thought they were going to. But I think they played a lot better than I thought they would, especially on defense. Did you see this team or individuals take steps in the right direction? Because, again, you look at what the defense was able to do. You know, Cam Ward was okay, wasn't great. But you saw some good things, whether it was from DK, Gunnar Helm, guys like that, that you are going to depend on moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. There were some big plays that were made, and we're not used to seeing that from this Titans team. Cody Barton had that pick six, and it was a great pick six. It was zone coverage. They ran a receiver inside where Barton was, I think, to widen him a little bit in the zone to make a little space for quarterback to drill that ball into his intended receiver, and Barton didn't take the bait. He was watching the quarterback, and when Justin Herbert was looking at that one receiver the whole time and started his throwing motion, Barton jumped the route, got a pick six, and that's the kind of thing that we're like, wow, holy, well, what just happened? I mean, I almost thought I was hallucinating that, because you're not used to seeing that for the Titans. The punt return for a touchdown, DK did a great job. I mean, he showed a lot of speed, good moves. He made two guys miss, stepped out of one tackle in making him miss. Really good stuff. But the rest of the guys, the blocking, off on the right side where they made that wall was terrific. There were so many outstanding blocks on that punt return. It was crazy. And my thought is, well, okay, where is that going forward? Now the offense didn't score a touchdown. You know, they had fourth and goal at the one. They couldn't punch it in. The Chargers get the ball and drive it 99 yards for a touchdown, and that was kind of the difference in the game from there. But the offense still is not getting the job done. But to see them rise up and make a few plays once in a while does give a glimmer of hope that they could continue with things like that.
Trevor, before we let you go, tonight the first edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings will be released. Yesterday, Derek and I talked about where we think Vanderbilt will fall on the list. Both of us believe that the Commodores will be outside the top 12 after losing at Texas on Saturday. If you were in charge of these rankings, where would you have Vanderbilt in edition number one?
You know, I think where they are right now is probably where the committee is going to put them. Right now they sit at 15 in the AP. So I think that's about where they're going to be. The reason is when you look at their schedule and you look at quality wins, the LSU win doesn't look as good now as it did. The Missouri win does. The Missouri win is a quality win. But other than that, you can't really point to wins. And I think the committee this year, and we're about to find out, we're going to learn what the committee values this year. I think quality wins is going to be a big part of it based on what some of the insiders like Heather Dinesh that actually talked to these folks will take, you know, or what they'll do. But one thing I'm very interested when it comes to that, and this will affect Vanderbilt as well, is the eye test versus the stats and the numbers and the metrics and things like that. Because Ohio State right now is number one AP. A lot of people think that Ohio State is the best team in the country, but they really don't have a quality win right now because of what happened in the Texas game. So they don't, and then, you know, Penn State is no longer what we thought they would be. So will the committee have them ranked number one? I don't know. The best win in the nation so far is Indiana dominating Oregon on the road. And I would think Indiana's got a very good chance of being that number one team. Texas A&M doesn't have one win that's like that, but they did beat Notre Dame, but they gave up over 40 points, and it was a squeaker of a game. It wasn't dominating like Indiana over Oregon. But overall, when you look at the strength of record, Texas A&M has the hardest strength of record, which is another one of those metrics that determines what, you know, how difficult your schedule is. I think the committee will give them a lot of credit for that. So if the committee puts Ohio State at number one, it's good for Vanderbilt because that means that the committee is less interested in those quality wins than they are the eye test. If they put Ohio State as far back as number three, then Vanderbilt's going to have to beat Tennessee. Going to have to beat Tennessee in order to make it.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. We will get back to your reaction. We will also discuss one Titans player who was not moved today, one we spent a lot of time discussing yesterday. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will rejoin us at the top of the hour. Barry Trotz will join us as well for our weekly chat with the Predators GM, Predators at Wild tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. One player who was rumored to be available, who the Titans did not move today ahead of the NFL trade deadline, is Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat is staying put. Jordan Schultz reported earlier today, quote, sources, despite significant league-wide interest, the Titans are not trading Tavondre Sweat. They view him as a young ascending cornerstone, a key part of their future plans, and have made it clear they're not looking to move him, which is interesting because his name was out there. And that doesn't mean that that was coming from the Titans. Mm-hmm. Other teams who spoke to the Titans may have surmised that T'Vondre Sweat was available. I'm glad they didn't trade him because I don't think you were going to get a good return on your investment. Teron Davenport joined us yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said a high day three draft pick was what he thought the return would be on a high second round pick.
Yeah.
A year ago.
It tells you you might as well keep him.
So the Titans keep T'Vondre Sweat for now. And this sort of plays into the leadership thing that you were talking about earlier, right, Derek? Mm-hmm. T'Vondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, as you previously coined them, what was it? Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat.
Yeah.
Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat, the R&B group coming to your local casino, playing all of the hits from the early and mid-90s. It's important, I would assume, for Jeffrey Simmons to be there as a mentor for T'Vondre Sweat. So, despite significant league-wide interest, the Titans have held on to T'Vondre Sweat, which I think is the right decision. You should not give away a young player only in his second year in the league. At the same time, as I say that, mm-hmm. I'm reminded that the Titans did that earlier this season with Jarvis Brownlee, mm-hmm. and I didn't like that. So I'm glad that they didn't do the same thing here, at least for now, in deciding to keep T'Vondre Sweat.
Well, I'm, you know, I think this team, you know, is better when both of them are on the field together, meaning Jeffrey Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat. You know, he's been injured. We've chronicled all this yesterday. But even with that, his name was on the in trade rumors. The Titans chose to not make a move on him, and I'm glad they didn't. Now the big fella has to, you know, continue to develop into what they thought he could be. I think the further and further we get from that injury, I think the better he will become. But again, it's not about just being better on the field. It's being better in the locker room. And I'm not saying that he's not, but if your name is swirling in, you know, trade talks after your first year, then yeah, it's more than just your production. It's outside of your production. You know, there's something else that could be potentially going on. So I'm glad they didn't trade him. I think he's a guy that can help them ultimately. He can be a building block on what they want to do defensively. So not trading him is a good thing. Now they need more out of him. They need him to start, you know, pick up where he left off last year and be that force in the middle that they need him to be, especially now that Jeffrey Simmons is injured. And, you know, he should want to do it even more now that that sort of cloud has been lifted. Jeff's not gone. Now it's like, okay, I get my dude back in a couple of weeks. Now we can really, you know, show what we should have shown at the beginning of the season. So I'm glad they kept T'Vondre. I'm glad they kept Jeff. And hopefully, you know, it works out for them, meaning the Titans. Because I know, that, again, there are a lot of people that are saying they should have traded Jeff or get what you can. But if you're only getting a day three, as high as a day three pick, that's it. I'm not trading away T'Vondre Sweat for that.
Going back to the Jeffrey Simmons leadership conversation, which is a conversation we had a lot over the summer. One texter wants specific examples from you, Derek, of Jeffrey Simmons exercising his leadership. The texter says, saying the team quit or wasn't ready during practice doesn't exemplify leadership. I believe the texter.
Why doesn't it?
Here is one aspect I will agree with you on, uh-huh. Derek. I believe the texter is referring to that story that Michael Silver wrote mm-hmm. for The Athletic a few weeks ago, right before the Titans fired Brian Callahan And I believe there was an anecdote in the story, I don't have it in front of me, that Jeffrey Simmons stopped practice and barked at J.C. Latham over his performance in a drill or something like that. To me, I actually do think that is strong leadership.
That, again, this is what happens when, you know, you're trying. People are trying to win an argument. Give me a specific incident. Okay, that's one. And then you would say, "Well, give me another one." Listen, that one alone, because again, I'm going to do it just for this texter.
Okay,
that alone, because you are not. You never. I assume, and I could be wrong. I assume you've never been in an NFL locker room. And this is the only time I'm going to say this and use this. I assume you haven't been in an NFL locker room. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But when you are inside an NFL locker room, a lot of things are not going to be seen. They're not.
Before you continue, I have the story in front of me from Michael Silver. According to several witnesses, Simmons stopped Thursday's practice. So this was a few weeks ago. Simmons stopped Thursday's practice to point out what he considered a poor showing by second-year right tackle J.C. Latham, who had missed the previous four weeks with a hip injury. Quote, "I've watched you for the last 10 plays, and this ain't it," Simmons told Latham. "We need more from you," end quote.
Why? That's leadership. He didn't curse him out. He said, "Listen, I know you're better than that. What you're giving is not you. We need better. That's the only way we're going to win. We need better from you."
Right. If you want to
That's
point
leadership.
Out, if you want to point out the fact that Jeffrey Simmons yelled at our friend Buck Rising, that's not leadership. We can all agree with that. That was not a good example of leadership.
Or the him fighting in practice
with Cam Ward.
But that was That was not even – that was last year.
Well, there
last
was the, training camp. There was the kerfuffle. Remember I used the word kerfuffle to describe the tussle
with Cam Ward? Okay,
that's different?
That is – yeah.
Okay.
That's nothing.
All right.
That is completely – I wasn't even thinking about that. That's so minute to me.
Fair
in
enough.
In regards to leadership. But no, that's – listen, believe me. Leaders on Ray Lewis, they went back and forth. It just didn't matter. Whatever. But that's one of those deals where, you know, somebody says something, you know, reporter reports it. That's leadership. But there are a lot of things that we are not privy of. That's just one of them. That's just one of the instances where they make us privy to that. But I know. It don't just, I see, I know, 100% no, that ain't the only stuff that Jeffrey is probably more than likely doing. And I'm not saying I know it because I talked to Jeffrey or I know it because I've been in those locker rooms. There's nothing different. They didn't reinvent the locker room. They didn't add new nuances to a locker room. A locker room is a locker room, no matter where you go. It's like I know what it takes to keep a locker room a certain way, and I know what happens and what can be done to make it a bad environment. When stuff like that comes out, he's not just doing that. But that was just one of the big things. It was like, whoa, okay, he's taking another step. All right, I see you. And somebody then puts it out there. So it's not just that Jeffrey's doing. I promise you. That he's doing more. He's showing more leadership. So, yeah, I do think that a guy like that has now matured into his leadership, don't tell me what he did last year. Don't tell me what he did 2 years. Tell me what he's doing now. How has he changed now? I'm not about yesterdayism, okay? But I think some people are when they're trying to make their point. It's what is he doing now? What are you doing now? I know what happened in the past. But what are you doing now? He's showing leadership. Okay. He's growing into that, what we wanted him to be, and he just wasn't ready to be it. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that at all. He's ready to be that guy now.
615-737-1025. We will get back to this because this is an interesting topic. A lot of you have a lot of reaction to it, so we will get back to it. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us. The team is in Minnesota, where they are preparing to take on the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6. But before we get to that, Barry Trotz will join us coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.